Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to full. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
You are listening to the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Red Sox make a flurry of moves today. Nothing monumental, but there was a lot of housekeeping. Three trades, a DFA, a non-tender, a rumor that they could be interested in a top free agent this winter. We will get into that. I am Terry Cushman, joined tonight by Doug Acheson. Doug, how are you?
I'm doing good, Terry. How you doing? It's a big day. I think the Rule 5 day is always kind of exciting.
Yeah, so basically, getting into that, the Red Sox, we're going to have some Rule 5 eligible guys that could potentially be put into the Rule 5 draft unless the Red Sox add them to the 40-man roster to essentially protect them from being swiped away from another team. And the Rule 5 is kind of put in there so that an organization can't hoard prospects forever. You can only have people in your minors for so many years, and then you either got to cut them to let them have opportunities elsewhere or finally put them on your 40-man. And so they had to protect some people, and we lost some. So let's just start off with the easy one. Scale of 1 to 10. How much are you going to miss Nathaniel Lowe, who was non-tender today, meaning he's gone?
I'd probably say on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd probably say right now about a 6.
You're kind of missing that much?
Well, I think he filled a hole that we didn't have.
Man, I mean, he was given.
Like, I don't think he's a guy that, you know, we're mad to see leave, right? But I think he filled the hole that we didn't have. I think he was a good locker room guy for us. I think he's a guy that I wouldn't be mad if he was still on the team. And if we don't fill this hole, then I think we might miss him. But if we do, then, you know, he's not going to be missed. But I liked him. I liked watching him play. He was a good hitter, and he helped us.
I was already mad by the time we got him because the trade deadline had come and gone, and obviously I didn't love it. We needed a bat. We didn't get one. He was – let's see. What was he? Was he DFA'd by the
– Yeah, by the Nationals.
Okay. I just couldn't remember if it was a DFA or how he was, no longer. Okay. So DFA'd by the Nationals, didn't want him. And I mean, he was a guy who in 2023 hit .262 with a .360 on base, nearly 100 points higher than his batting average. Had a OPS of .775, OPS plus of 114, both comfortably above average numbers, not off the charts, but above average. 2.9 WAR, hit 17 home runs, 82 runs driven in. Let's see. basically, I don't know, very similar in 2024 as well. Actually, almost identical in some areas. And then for some reason in 2025, just hit 216, had an on base under 300, 292, only hit what? Well, still hit 16 home runs, I guess, but clearly not the same guy, and the Nationals cut him, and there were rumors he was just kind of mad that they weren't trying. He was on a last place team, blah, blah, blah. Showed up to Boston a little pudgy, kind of looked like he was in a beer league softball type thing.
Yeah, big time.
Had a kid, I don't know. And he had a couple of good games early on, but man, I just felt like he was a non-factor going down the stretch. And if the Red Sox wanted to tender a contract, he would have basically gotten about $12 million in arbitration. So I don't know. I'm just kind of happy to see him gone. I would have said a 1 on a scale of 1 to 10, honestly.
That's fair. I mean, I expected him to go. So
yeah,
but I just look at it right now. I don't know who's going to be playing that position.
Well, hopefully it's a sign that you're going to upgrade it significantly, right. You know,
yeah.
And
yeah,
we're going to talk about Alonso, Bregman and Schwarber ad nauseum until
right.
A lot of those guys get homes, but not a very surprising non-tender today. And I don't think today's the deadline, so we could conceivably see more to come. I don't know. I don't think anybody will, to be honest. Tanner Houck is rumored to be tendered a contract, even though, as a Cotillo tweet comes in. Nope, just kidding. Tanner Houck is expected to be tendered a contract, even though he's going to miss most, if not all, of the 2026 season due to Tommy John. So there was some speculation. Well, he's not going to pitch anyway. You might be looking at a lockout for a full season. Why waste whatever the tag is going to be, $2 or $3 million on him? So there was a legitimate possibility that they may not have decided to tender him a contract.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it makes sense. Just if they're going to try to move him at some point, you can't really move him right now. So, you know, but he's, I mean, who knows if he ever really makes it back up to the big leagues again at this point with that injury.
I think he will, I don't know how the lockout is going to work. Like that would be his ARB2 season.
Right. So, and then he misses three seasons like in a row, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Essentially, because he didn't pitch much of 2028. But
right.
I don't know how the lockout, like, does that pause the arbitration and then therefore 2028 will be his ARB2 season? I will have to look that up as we go. But the lockout is kind of the elephant in the room for now. But
Hopefully he can come back.
I think he will. I think he will. And I'm not mad that we tendered him a contract because I think at a minimum he could be a high leverage reliever for you at a minimum. Yeah. I think after Tommy John that they will give him one last look as a starter, but we'll see how that shakes out. I'm not a Tanner Houck guy. Are you a Tanner? Tanner Houck. I'm just getting lit up on the mound right now. I'm not a Tristan Casas guy, is what I was trying to say. Okay. Are you a Tristan Casas guy?
No, definitely not.
Oh, okay. you surprised me on the Nathaniel Lau. You surprised me on Price one about a month ago, too, but that's fine. We don't hold anything against people here. I was hoping it just would have warmed my soul if Tristan Casas got non-tender today.
Yeah. I think a lot of people were hoping for it.
Yeah. I mean, the dude, I mean, it's a constant clown show when he's around. He loves stirring up the media. I just, I would have loved to see Red Sox Twitter cry, because there's still people in this fan base that think he's gonna come back, magically stay healthy, hit 40 home runs, even though I don't think David Ortiz ever did. Who else? I'm not going to look up Manny's stats, but I don't know if anybody's done it at Fenway, at least for a while. Maybe JD did
it. I think Ortiz did it once.
Did he?
I think, right? Because didn't he hit? I think he hit 50 once, right? Or did he?
Oh, you know what? Maybe he did. Yeah, he had a 54 home run season.
Yeah.
Now I'm looking it up. I told myself I'm not going to look up
any. But that might have been his only.
Well, let's just see what year it was. I'm not going to mention the S word, but let's just have a look. 06, he hit. Yeah, so let's go back. 2004, he hit 41. Hit 47 in 2005. And then in 2006, he hit his career high with 54.
Yeah, it's the Red Sox record, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's got to be. Okay. But then after that, which I think is when the testing started, I'm just saying, I'm not saying he did steroids. I'm just saying all of the big numbers are before 07. And never any more than, well, actually he did hit 37 and 38. Yeah, his last season was his most productive as far as home runs after the steroid testing started. So
yeah, I mean, he was great literally up until he retired.
Jeez. Yeah, he was. Look at that. In his last year, he led the league with 48 doubles, led the league in 127 runs batted in, led the league in slugging, 620, led the league in OPS. Ironically, Aaron Judge was a rookie that very next year, and I think was runner-up MVP, even though, I don't know, that was the trash can year where Altuve won. So lots of controversy. I mean, we're all guilty, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and what was Ortiz's highest MVP vote? Second. Wow, he was second in 2005. Four silver sluggers in a row.
Who won it in 05? Probably A-Rod.
Oh, I don't know. Will it say? Let's see. AL MVP. He won it in 05. Yeah, that is who it was.
Yeah.
And he literally got caught. But yeah, all right. So enough of that. I didn't think we were going to go off on that.
Yeah, that's all right.
But you never know on the Bastard Show.
Yeah.
Where were we going with all that?
We're talking about Cassis.
We were. Yes, we were. Yeah. And magically, there's people in this fan base that think he can be about 80% of what Ortiz was. And I just think those are fairy tales.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not the quickest to give up on guys, but he's past that, way past that by now.
He can't even jog to first. Yeah. The slowest guy on the team blew out his patella, whatever. Right. He blew out his rib cage the year before that. I mean, what kind of a weird injury is he going to have next? And then, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, like, if someone keeps telling you who they are, you got to just believe them at some point.
Yeah. So we'll see. That just makes me want to sign Alonzo so much more. But
oh, yeah.
But Tristan Casas will be most likely, apparently, tendered a contract. There were some rumors today that he could be traded.
Yeah, I was seeing that.
So,
yeah. Do you think the Nate DFA, like, do you think even that means we're going out to get a first baseman? Or do you think that just would have happened either way?
With Lau, I think they just didn't want to pay him.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could go get a very good reliever for the exact money you're saving. In fact, I don't even think Aroldis Chapman is making what Lau would have got in arbitration. So So yeah, they're just saving money, and hopefully we'll allocate it to something nice. But all right, so that went down. Josh Winkowski was straight up DFA'd today. So had a good year a few years ago. Could was looking like a solid seventh inning guy. Could give you some long relief. And then after, 2023, kind of bounced up and down from the minors. They tried stretching him out to be a starter. That didn't work, and I think they just don't think he has a future in Boston. So he was DFA'd. Gonna miss him or no?
Yeah, no. I think it was just one of those projects that we kind of were working with that just gave him a bunch of different looks, and it just never really worked out.
Yeah, he was one of the pieces in the Andrew Benintendi trade from 2020. Mm-hmm. Franchi Cordero was in there. It escapes me. I think we got one other guy who had some cups of coffee. Don't quote me on that. But yeah. So hopefully, I mean, I liked him. But hopefully another team will pick him up and unlock something. And, you know, he'll be a viable piece of a major league roster someplace.
Yeah, probably the Dodgers.
Probably.
He'll just become an all-star.
They'll just do what they did with Brazier and be like, dude, just throw a cutter. You'll be the best eighth inning guy in the league if you throw a cutter. That's all it took. All right. So some other housekeeping. So David Sandlin, Shane Drohan, who I didn't even know was still back. I think he got pulled away in the Rule 5, and then they had to send him back for some reason, whoever snagged him. So apparently we had him again. And then Tyler Urbastein, who I know zero about. So the prospect nerds will come after me for that because I'm sure he's, got some upside. But Sandlin, Drohan, and Urbastein needed spots on the 40-man or else they would have been Rule 5 eligible. We hear about David Sandlin a lot because he throws over 100. I'm still not clear on whether he sounds like a reliever to me, but yeah. I don't know if he'll be a starter or what their plans are. Again, admittedly, I know nothing about Urbastein, but in order to make room for those three on the 40 man, they traded Luis Guerrero, Chris Murphy, and Brennan Bernardino to make room for Sandlin, Drohan, and Urbastein. And not going to lie, I think Chris Murphy had some upside. I know last year was inconsistent. He was coming back from Tommy John. And I was always a Brennan Bernardino fan. Charlie and I would fight like schoolgirls about what was good or bad about him. But solid guy. So what are your thoughts on losing any of them?
I think I agree with you on both of them. I was higher on Bernardino than Murphy. It's like he pitched well all season, and then they wanted us to think that he didn't, and they sent him down, and he was still just throwing scoreless innings, and then they brought him back up, and he pitched great all season. I think he's a really good guy to have in your bullpen. The same about Chris Murphy, but he wasn't as good as Bernardino was this year. Bernardino had a long scoreless streak. He was one of our better relievers this year, and yeah, it's upsetting to see him go.
Exactly right. Bernardino did scuffle a little bit in the very earlier part of the season.
Yeah, he did.
And then just really seemed to lock it down in, late spring, I think. Mm-hmm. He had a 3.14 ERA, 51 in two-thirds innings pitched, appeared in 55 games, 43 strikeouts. WHIP was a little high at 1.25, but what I really liked about Bernardino for the bulk of his time here was if you needed to make a change with runners on, Bernardino generally could come in and hold those runners and get some really clutch outs for you. So to lose him, I mean, sometimes it's all about timing, and maybe there were some metrics that, weren't looking quite as great. So I don't have the PhD to break that stuff down on those fancy sites, but
I think that feeling is the exact feeling. It's just like he, you know, it's just like I watched him pitch and he pitched well and he helped our team. That's all I know. You know?
Yeah. And you mentioned the scoreless streak there.
It was up in like the teens, right? Or something.
So after, let's get this right. After June 27th, that was, let's see, June 27th, that was his, wow, was that his? No. But anyway, so after that date, he only gave up a handful of runs. Let's see. He gave up 4 on the 27th, so he got lit up pretty good there. He never gave up another earned run until August 30th. So 2 months and 3 days.
Yeah, I want to say he had like up in the teens for inning streak, I want to say.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and count. Yeah, yeah. But it was certainly in the teens. Yeah. After June 7th, let's just put it very simply, he only gave up 3 earned runs. So
it's very reliable. I felt very good seeing him come into the game every time.
Yeah, and I want to say he might have had an injury. His last outing was was September 6th, and we never saw him again after that. And so I don't know. You look at the guys you do have. I mean, you feel good about your eighth and ninth innings, but you've got your Zach Kelly type guys and just a lot of guys I don't have a ton of confidence to be consistent over a full 162. And there's reports out there that the Red Sox aren't really looking to add a high-priced reliever. Right. Justin Wilson, who was very good for us last year, lefty, free agent. He's going to be like 38 years old, 39 maybe. Yeah. He's up there, but you know, you see that a lot. I mean, Chris Martin was 38 or so. Yeah. Go back to 2013, Chapman. The greatest season we ever saw. Koji Uehara, yeah. 38 years old. Yeah. So I don't, that doesn't bother me so much if they're pitching out of the pen. So yeah, I mean, we'll see.
The pen, you can never have too many guys.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's never going to be like an outfielder problem where we're like, oh, we need to get rid of one. We got too many. Like, stack your bullpen with. Even if you're saying we don't want to get a high leverage guy, you know, we already have Chapman, we have Whitlock. Just fill it with mid-level guys. I'd be fine with that. If you just fill your bullpen with solid guys, you can never have too many solid guys back there.
I didn't love Chris Murphy as much as Brennan Bernardino, right, but I thought he was a guy that had upside. Mm-hmm. And if he could just have a consistent year, you know, out of training camp or spring training, and, you know, just don't put him immediately into high leverage, just kind of ease him in. I thought he was a guy that may eventually, you know, in future seasons be a solid seventh or eighth inning guy, you know, game in and game out. And I hope there's a plan. That's all I can say. I hope there's a plan. But most years we've gone into the season, I felt pretty confident about our bullpen. And I'm more skeptical this year, although we're still in the month of November.
Yeah.
And I'm a little more skeptical.
Having the guy at the end that you know you can count on helps it a little bit, but it's kind of everything in between right now that needs work that's skeptical about. But if we didn't have that Chapman, then it'd be a disaster.
Yeah, it is, and he stays healthy. He's never hurt. Right. You know, he's a freak of nature. Yeah. So I don't. He could end up being an Eckersley type guy that you know, pitches into his
mid-40s. I mean, all those great closers pitched late into their career. Hoffman, Rivera, they all pitched. They all pitched into their 40s.
Yes, they did. So
they didn't. They didn't throw 103, but they did.
Right. What was Chapman's fastest on the gun this year? I want to say he hit 104 once.
Maybe. I don't remember. He might. It sounds right.
Yeah. So we're not going to get into the returns for the guys we traded. I'll give the names. Tristan Gray was traded for Guerrero, first baseman. Ronnie Hernandez was acquired in the Chris Murphy trade. That was to the White Sox. We got Alex Hoppe for Luke Heyman from the Mariners. And then Brennan Bernardino to the Rockies. Poor Brennan. Man, what a team to get traded for. Fenway Park, of course.
That's tough.
For some guy named Braden Ward. None of these guys.
Colorado's a good place, but that's a tough park.
Yeah. So that's what we got. I don't know how close to the major leagues any of them are. All right. Let's switch gears here. The qualifying offer deadline was today. So 13 players got the qualifying offer, which is worth $22 million. So the players could agree to take that deal, or they could continue on to free agency. And if they declined it, like let's say, for instance, Bo Bichette was one who declined it, whichever team signs him. So let's say it's the Red Sox. The Red Sox would have to give a draft pick to the Toronto Blue Jays. So, you know, the higher end free agents are going to say no to $22 million because they're hoping to get $150 to $300 million, yeah, let's say. So it makes perfect sense for them to decline it. And there was four that accepted it. And sometimes there's reasons to why a player would. Let's get into the players who declined it. Nine of them. One was Bo Bichette. The rest of them, Dylan Cease, Edwin Diaz, Zach Galen, Michael King, Kyle Schwarber, Ranger Suarez, Kyle Tucker, and Framber Valdez said, no thank you to $22 million. I'm going to test free agency here and hopefully sign a big haul. Four players that did accept it were Trent Grisham with the Yankees, Shota Imanaga, who kind of a popular free agent pitcher if he ended up declining it, but he will stay in Chicago with the White Sox, with the Cubs. Not my best show tonight. And then Gleyber Torres will stay with the Tigers for 1 year. Brandon Woodruff stays with the Brewers. So let's go backwards here. I think in the case of Trent Grisham and Gleyber Torres, I could be wrong, but I think it was a gamble on the teams to issue Grisham and Torres a qualifying offer. I think they were assuming maybe they would decline it, and they were just trying to make a play on getting a draft pick because Torres is like 29. I mean, yeah, why not go to free agency? That kind of surprised me. And Grisham had a pretty good year leading off in a lot of games for the Yankees. And, I mean, he probably wasn't going to get $22 million a year, but he could have certainly signed a $60 or $80 million deal over 5 or 6 years possibly.
Right. Yeah, you know, maybe it's – if you're Grisham, maybe it's like you take the $22 for this year. That's more than – maybe you would have made per year if you but, and then, you know, try to have even better year, then you get an even bigger contract. You know, it's one of those you can bet on yourself type of years.
You know, and I guess, I mean, yeah, I mean, a situation I don't know what else. Yeah. He just turned 29 a few weeks ago, so fairly young guy. Hit 235, not super great, but did hit 34 home runs. Had an on base of 348. So that's pretty good. OPS of 811, OPS plus 125. All very well above average numbers. Yeah. Drove in 74. So it just, kind of surprises me.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
surprising.
That's like Kyle Schwarber light, you know. Schwarber's a high strikeout guy, but he's a high on base guy, and he's a big power guy. So those kind of justify hitting at the top of the lineup. So I don't know. In Grisham's case, given his age and relatively robust numbers, kind of surprised me, but you know, maybe he likes the Yankees. Maybe he thinks he can have an even bigger year next year. And I guess one of the upsides here is if he does, and maybe this is why he decided to stay. If he does have a qualifying offer attached to him, he's less signable because some teams are going to be like, do I want to give up a pick for Trent Grisham?
Right. Right. It's a good point.
Just sign him next year. Right. And not. So perhaps that's what it was. And perhaps that's what it was for Gleyber Torres, who I don't know which position he played. I'm assuming it was second base for most of the year, but second base historically, I mean, that he's a great bat for a second baseman, not the best defender, but you're going to get a lot of offense from that position. And I think in Cooperstown, second base is the least populated position of previous Hall of Famers. So just think of the Red Sox. I mean, when was the last time we had a great one? I think it was Pedroia.
I mean, he's the only, I don't even think he's the only great one. I think that's.
Yeah.
Since like the '50s, maybe.
Who was it in 07? I don't even remember.
In 07, it was Pedroia.
Oh, it would have been. Yeah. That was his rookie year. Yeah. Though, right. Okay.
04, it was Pokey Reese a lot. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Mark Bellhorn. Mark Bellhorn. 2013
was Pedroia, and he was actually healthy that year too. Yeah, so that's just I kept thinking Christian Arroyo would be a sneaky good one. I was an Arroyo apologist for a number of years, but
Pedroia's on the Hall of Fame ballot now too. I think he was last year too. I don't think he made it, but he's on it this year.
You have to get what 10 or 15% your first year to stay on it. Yeah. Something like that. So, yeah. So perhaps that's why Gleyber Torres is only 29. He's been in the league for a long time. I think age 20 or 21, he came up. So he didn't spend a ton of time in the minors. So, and then of the guys who declined it, I mean, no real surprises there.
Oh, a lot of big names.
Edwin Diaz is an interesting guy this winter, but I don't think the Red Sox. Michael King's been hurt, so the fact that he declined it must mean he's pretty confident that he's going to be healthy going forward. Yeah. And Shota Imanaga, I was a little surprised there. His strikeout per nine has dipped, so maybe his stock isn't super high, but I still thought there was a shot where he would get another one. Another one who surprised me, we were talking about him, was Brandon Woodruff. He was out. I want to say it was a shoulder injury, but it could have been Tommy John. But he put up some really good numbers down the stretch. Yeah. With the Brewers, he didn't play his first game until July, but had about a 3.20 ERA, had a strikeout per nine of 11.9. So very, very good metrics for a guy that's 32, actually going on 33 years old this February, probably right about as pitchers and catchers report. But yeah, let's see, 64.2 innings pitched, 83 strikeouts. So that's a guy I would have thought would have for sure tested free agency, because if he doesn't do it this year, 2027 would be his age 34 season, or would that be 35? I already lost it.
Yeah,
34 season in 2027.
Yeah, this would seem like the time. to go try to get that money. And everything was working for the Brewers the last season. And sometimes you have to really, capitalize on your best season, and it seemed like he had a really good season. And sometimes his age is getting up there. This would have seemed like the year he would have tried to go get something.
Yeah, and he decided not to. So we'll see. Yeah. I mean, if we do have a strike, he won't be pitching until what, 2028, his age 35 season?
Yeah, 35.
I would have went and got that money, right. But
yeah. I mean, 22 million is nothing to sneeze at, maybe he was just saying, I can guarantee myself 1 year of 22 million. And if the lockout's coming, who knows what else, who knows what's in the future for him. Maybe he was thinking that way, but yeah, it's surprising.
Yeah. So we'll wrap here in a second. So apparently Jules solved the mystery. Woodruff did not pitch in the postseason. So perhaps, I don't know if he's got serious injury concerns. I could see why $22 million suddenly looks pretty good. Let's see. Our good buddy Chris Felico says Nick Sogard will be the next great second baseman. Brilliant insight. That's why Chris is on the crew with us.
The best.
Yeah. And Jules also opines that labor isn't worth $22 million, and he's probably not. No. But another thing that he's got going against him, Detroit, not a hitter's park,
right? Yeah.
But still has decent numbers there. So anyway, all right, we will wrap on that. Myself and Chris Felico, perhaps one or two other guys, will jump on with us on Thursday to discuss any more developments with the Red Sox. We are going to start to see some names come off the board as well. You'll see some of those mid-level starting pitchers inking deals, and some of the more aggressive teams making moves. So if anything happens, we'll be back to cover that. If it stays quiet, we still have two more installments of the MLB trade rumors, free agent rankings, projections. We've done the first three parts of those. So if you haven't heard them, go back. We've been doing them over the last couple of weeks. So there is plenty of Bastards content that's been recorded if you haven't gotten there. So thank you, everyone, for hanging out with us for a little while, and we will be back in about 48 hours or sooner if it justifies it. If a development happens, in other words, we'll be here to cover it. We'll be one of the first podcasts to do so. Everyone, take care.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.